Bible, please open with us to the book of Mark, chapter number 12. The book of Mark, chapter number 12. And we've studied this passage now for a couple of weeks on Wednesday night. And tonight I want to take the things that we have come up with and I want to make some applications. And if you could, you've done this before. Have you ever been in a doctor's office and they'll hand you a checklist? Have you ever had a cough? Yes or no? Have you ever had a cold? Yes or no? Have you ever eaten a toad? Yes or no? You know, and they ask you all these questions about what you know, and so you go down through there. Well, I've been thinking. I'm still praying on Matthew 22:37, and that's expanded now to Mark 12:30. Take your Bible and stand with me just for a moment. We'll read that verse. Mark 12:30 gives us four things to pray about, not just three. Matthew 22:37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." But Mark added, "And with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And so with that in mind, I flipped over to the book of Hebrews. And I started down through the list of characters that the Scripture holds up as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I got to noticing that the folks in Hebrews check all those boxes. They love the Lord with all their hearts. They love the Lord with all their souls. They love the Lord with all their minds. And not always, but they love the Lord with all their strength. What's interesting is we know the rest of the story, that all of them didn't check all those boxes all the time. Abraham, he got it partly right, but then he took Hagar. Come on. Did you know God don't even mention that in the account in Hebrews? If all you had was the New Testament, you'd never know about that little tryst that he had with his bondwoman. You'd never know about that. Why? I think it's because of Genesis 22. Because he got it right. I think it's because he got it right. I'll deal with that in one of these days. And God, hey, put it this way. No matter how many times you fail the test, it's the one that counts is when you get it right, isn't it? And that seems to be what God's recording in the Hebrews chapter number 11. It seems to me that God's recording the times they got it right. And he doesn't mention those other times. I think I'm telling this right. Rod Honeycutt ran for Congress recently. If I'm not mistaken, he went through Ranger training, I believe, seven times. But he made it. And he's the one that tells it. He could just say, "I served as a ranger, airborne ranger." That's all he'd have to say. I was a ranger. But he'll tell you, I tried seven times. You know what that does? That tells me something about who he is. Son, after the second time, I'd have been so embarrassed. I'd said, "I ain't going back through that. They treat you like a dog. They have to kill you and cuss you and threaten you and everything else. And then to go submit yourself over." And can you imagine the ridicule that the instructors gave him after going through that thing over and over and over? And can you imagine that? And I may be wrong on the number of times, but I think I remember somebody saying it was the seventh time he got it. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln was defeated for public office more times than he won? Way more times. He had way more losses than wins. He run for everything known to man, lost, 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 lost. Won along the way, and then run for president and won it. And there's only four guys that's got memorials in D.C., and he's one of them. Is that right? Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson and, is there another one? But I'm talking about presidents. Maybe there's just three. And so, you know where, do you see where I'm going with that? And so tonight I'm going to pick up in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We'll read a verse there together just after we pray again. Father, help us now. Draw in all of the scattered and random things. Bring them down to a fine point now so this will make sense to the hearer. Speak to our hearts as you've spoken to mine in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I'm going to be looking at a verse found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 4. I'm also going to be looking at the account of Cain and Abel that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. But by way of review, I want to see if you remember our words that we assigned, our alliteration. Y'all helped me last week, and I actually have picked up a word that was mentioned, and so I'm going to assign it to take that word. But first of all, the Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The word heart is the word cardia, that means the blood pump, but it's also meant to mean the seat of our affections, the seat of human affection. And so we said, love the Lord God with all thy devotion. Secondly, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul. The word soul is a word that has the idea of chiefly based in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. So in that passage, doing the will of God from the heart, what's that mean? How do you do the will of God? The will. It's the will of man that emanates from our soul. And one of the definitions of what is the soul is the mind, will, and emotions in a broad sense. And so we use that, and we talked about our will, and so we decided that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy determination, your will. You determined to serve the Lord. That fellow determined to take that test 7 times. That's a pretty strong will. And then we went, with all thy mind. And the word for mind has with it the idea of diagnostics, or to think and understand, but more than just understanding, the faculty of moral reflection is what one author said. And so we use the thought, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy deliberation, something that humans have that not the animals don't have, is we have that gift, or sometimes the curse, of deliberation. Turning things over in our mind and comparing facts with facts and ruminating over a truth. And then Mark adds, and with all thy strength, with all thy strength. And I appreciate all the different help that we got last week on that one. But I got to thinking about strength, and I got to thinking about people working out, and I got to thinking about, you know, people who are bodybuilders or people who are athletes. I got to thinking about, whether it's Tiger Woods or a NASCAR driver, they spend a lot of time working out, you know. They said that Tiger Woods on his day off plays 18, on his day off. Said on the days when he's working out, when he's training, he plays 36, and he spends several hours driving and several hours putting. Every day. And he'll play 36 holes in the middle of that. He does that every day. He spends thousands and thousands and thousands of hours a year dedicated to golf. And so I use the word for that last one, with all thy strength. I'm going to insert the word dedication. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy dedication. Whatever God's give you, dedicate it. Dedicated. Okay? Now, let's take that grid, let's take that checklist, and let's look at the story of Cain and Abel. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 4. And Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The first murder in the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 4 says, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Didn't say he obtained righteousness, said by witness, which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, I'm interested as we take that litmus test, as we take these terms and we apply them, I think that you're going to be amazed to see how well Cain does when you go to looking at the different aspects of him loving the Lord. You say, well, he's a murderer. I know. But look in verse number 3. And in the process of time, I'm back in Genesis, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain, notice that, brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. And then the next verse says, and Abel did it too. But who started it? Cain started it. You thought about that? In the scripture, it's Cain and Abel, Cain and Abel, Cain and Abel. Cain's the firstborn, apparently. Some say they were twins, but Cain's the firstborn, from the best we can tell. First one mentioned, anyway. And the Bible says that it was Cain. In the process of time, that Cain brought an offering, look at the phrase. The scripture says, an offering unto the Lord. Regardless of what else happened, you emphasize these words, Cain brought, and skip over, an offering unto the Lord. That's what it says. That Cain brought an offering unto the Lord. What do we do about devotion? I think he gets a check mark. He's the one started the whole thing. He was the one that come up with bringing the offering to the Lord, right? Because the Bible says, and Abel, he also, look at that phrase, also. So in other words, we're putting a train together here. Who's the engine? It's got to be Cain. You can't deny that. And what Abel did, he attached a car on to what he had done. He also brought. Cain's the one that did it. There's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of devotion. Can I just mention this? Catholics are some of the most devoted people I've ever seen in my life. My goodness. You talk about a devoted bunch. I mean, and devotion, I mean, good gracious. I mean, we pale sometimes in comparison. I tell you something else. Muslims. Oh, my word. Devotion? What are you talking about? 5 o'clock in the morning, that loudspeaker goes off. Allah. They get up and go to prayer. 5 o'clock in the morning. They do. And they'll go in there and bow their heads, and they turn their mat toward Mecca, and they bow their heads, and they do their prayers, and they do amazing. They got their prayer rug to carry with them. I mean, I've seen them. Matter of fact, I was in the Dahran airport. I stood there with no air conditioning, fans only. The bunch of people coming into Dahran, almost all of them were out of country, all, you know, workers coming in. And so they treated us like that. They treated us like we were slaves. And every time a call of prayer going, they'd shut everything down. And all the ticket people and all the visa people, everybody, they'd leave. They'd be gone a while, and once they'd get done praying, they'd come back and they'd open it back up. I was in there all day long. Because they kept going to prayer. About what time I'd get, they'd go to prayer. Here we go again. They did that all day long. How many Baptists do that? Not many. Talk about devotion. Well, I tell you, it takes a lot. For some of these religions, they're way more devoted than we are. Bible says Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And the Bible says Abel also brought, look, that latter part of the verse from number four, his offering. But what's interesting is that in that verse, it doesn't say that he brought it unto the Lord, but it says the Lord had respect unto it, to his offering, there in verse number four. So if we're going to compare apples with apples, and we're going to judge these boys off of their devotion, looks like it Cain gets a check mark, and looks like it Abel gets a check mark. I think they both show very good devotion, right? And if you really want to push the issue, Cain kind of gets an A+. Because the question is, would Abel have done it if Cain hadn't? Well, in the process of time, I don't know what that means, but in the process of time, Cain offered an offering to the Lord. Okay, so I think that one's clear. Cain gets a check mark, maybe a plus on it. Abel gets a check mark. All right? So how about their devotion? Well, they both seem to have devotion. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. Now, the Scripture says, going back to our verse, Mark 12, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And for there we use the word determination. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy determination, having to do with the will. The will. Now for this, we need to flip over to the New Testament account in Hebrews chapter number 4. Now, I know what the passage says, but I want you to look at a word or a couple of words that the New Testament uses. The Holy Ghost uses these for a reason. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, let's just stop right there a minute. Let's leave Abel out of this situation. What did Cain offer? For the term of comparison to be used, that Abel offered a more excellent. Sounds like to me that Cain's sacrifice was excellent. It's just that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent. A term of comparison. You say, is that what you think? Well, based on his devotion, it's the logical conclusion. You've been, some of you men don't know where the grocery store is at, but Mel, you women, you know, you've been to the grocery store. You've been to the grocery store where they have the thunderstorm that comes on. You do that? And you'll hear thunder and you step back because it's going to start misting. They mist water on all the produce. And boy, I mean, particularly on them grapes. When they get that little dew droplets on them grapes, man, that just tears my nerves up. You know, and all that produce. I mean, I really like fruit. And I mean, I like vegetables, all right. I'll eat them if I have to. But, I like fruit. I like fruit. And I just like fruit. One of the things I love about the Caribbean, they have fresh fruit. Everything's just, it's just everywhere. And it's cheap. And you can get it for just nearly nothing. I love going to tropical climates because of the fruit. And I'm not supposed to have a lot of sugar. And, of course, I'm diabetic. And a lot of times I get sick because I eat so much fruit. It's not I'm eating candy. I'm eating fruit. Some ripe mangoes. Oh, I love a ripe mango. Around here, they taste like pine trees. But if you ever get them over there, tree-ripened mangoes, oh, they're something else. I mean, oh, they're amazing. And pineapples. Did you know that hard core in the middle of them, you know how you get dull pineapples, got a hole in the middle of it? Did you know that that gets ripe? And did you know that that's edible? Oh, in the Philippines, you eat the whole thing. I mean, eat right through it. Not an issue. Good law, you ain't never had good. Unbelievable good. We were in Dominican Republic in a meeting, and they got this big breakfast buffet. We stayed at a very nice hotel. Big breakfast buffet. And they got everything you can think of. They've got both American and European on the breakfast buffet. And they've got a fruit bar second to none. And so my wife says, come out, and they said, would you like something to drink, madame? And she said, yes, I would like some pineapple juice. And he said, excuse me? And I said, piña. Oh, so he knew what that was. So he kind of looked around, then he said, okay. So he left. On his way back in the kitchen, he went over there and got some of the decoration. They had pineapples lined up across the back of the bar there, back of the breakfast bar. He reached and got one of those. Now, the difference is, over there, they're not green. Pineapples are brown, okay, because they're ripe. They're field ripened. They're vine ripened. The field ripened. He took that thing in the back, and about 5 minutes, he come out with a big old glass of frothy pineapple juice. He went back there, whittled that thing down, and crushed that thing and made fresh pineapple juice out of a pineapple for my wife. I mean, that's living right there, friends. I mean, that's on, isn't it? I mean, you know what that cost here in the country? I mean, they're $5 to $6 a piece. It's hard you can't eat them, you know. Or like mine, I let them try to get them ripe, and they rot. So there's 20, there must be 30 minutes in there somewhere between green and ripe that you're supposed to eat them. I don't know. I never do get it right. But can you imagine? Think about a man that had the kind of devotion that he's the one that instituted it. Do you really think that he brought scabby tomatoes, corn that was wilted, and speckled beans? I mean, seriously, do you really think he brought the junk? I can't see it based on he's the one that instituted it. And I can't see it based upon the passage in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says a more excellent sacrifice. So if Abel's is more excellent over here, then Cain's must have been excellent. I think it looked like Engel's produce on a Friday afternoon or better. Beautiful. The biggest, best watermelons, the biggest, best grape, the best his hands could grow. There it is. I'm talking about thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy determination. But the Bible says that also Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So if we're going to talk about determination, once again, I think both the boys get a check mark. If we're talking about his will and we're talking about putting his soul in it, we're talking about doing the will of God from the heart. So you say, but preacher, it's the wrong sacrifice. That aside, I'm trying to say, look at what he gave. Okay, so does he or does he not get a determination check mark? Well, Noah, Abel gets it. But I think Cain gets it too. with all thy soul. So far we're 2-2. Both of them have a check mark under devotion. Looks like both of them have a check mark under determination as far as their wills were concerned. And then the scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. And we use the word deliberation, the faculty of moral reflection, understanding, imagination, comprehension, and application of comprehension. More than knowledge, the application of knowledge. Okay? And I read after one author who said this, that when you love the Lord with all your mind, is to love His law more than the decisions of our own mind. When you love the Lord with all your mind, you love the Lord with more than you love your own decisions, your own likes, your own dislikes, your own tastes, your own opinions, your own... You follow where I'm going? With that, now we come into a big difference. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4, verse number 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the flock. No. What did he bring? The fruit of the ground. An offering unto the Lord. Well, what's wrong with that, preacher? The only example that these boys, now you have to take what they know by where they are. Okay, now they're not over here in Exodus. Where are they? They're four chapters in. Okay? So if we're going to talk about blood, we're going to talk about sacrifice, the only place that you'll find that anywhere is when God took the coats of animals and clothed Adam and Eve. The first bloodshed in the Bible, God did it. The first death in the Bible, God did it. Hello? That's the book, right? Okay. So was there a pattern to go by? Was Adam still living? Yes. Can you see him knock on Daddy's door? And he says, yes, son, what can I do for you? He said, Dad, I've been wanting to do something for the Lord. I've been wanting to do something for the Lord. I really want to do something for the Lord. Dad, I've been thinking about giving the Lord some produce. What do you think about that, Dad? Dad said, well, now, son, you see, when it come to me and your mama, and we needed a sacrifice, God didn't pick oranges off a tree. God didn't dig turnips out of the ground. Son, when it come to me and your mama's sin, God required blood. Now, son, that's the only pattern we got. And so I think you need to stick to that. All right, Dad, appreciate it. He starts back down toward the house. And he says, no. He said, he ain't seen what I'm fixing to put on. Well, I'm fixing to put on a produce show that the county fair would be proud of. It'd be blue ribbons at the county fair. Well, God'll like what I do. Dad says he won't, but go, God'll like what I got. God'll like what I do. Say, do you know did all that happen, preacher? No, I don't. But somehow or another, through the faculty of moral reflection, he deliberated what he should offer. That's his idea. I'm going to offer something. But through his deliberation, he came up with the wrong thing. In other words, he didn't love the example that God had given and the instruction that his father apparently had given. You say, well, how do you know Dad instructed him? What did Abel do? Abel got it right. Was Abel around when that happened? No. Well, where did he get the example from? Had to got it from his daddy and mama. Had to have. He wouldn't have known to done it otherwise. So the Bible says, and Abel also brought of the verse number 4 of Genesis 4. And Abel also, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. That's another interesting thing. We're going to find that right on down through Scripture. But I saw something just then that I don't reckon I've ever seen. The Bible says firstlings, plural. Apparently it wasn't just one lamb. Firstlings, plural, of his flock. But here's the next point I want you to see. He didn't bring them on the hoof before the Lord. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says, and of the fat thereof. How do you get the fat off of a lamb? How do you get the fat off the firstlings of a flock? With a knife. With a knife. Let me see if I can say it this way. Cain could never get his head around slaughterhouse religion. Cain could never get his head around blood sacrifice. He felt like the works of his hands were enough. Now, when it come to Abel, yes, he cared for the flock. Yes, he bred the flock. Yes, he oversaw the flock. But the bottom line was that blood came from God. And that life of the flesh was in the blood. And so, somewhere in the midst of it, Abel overcame the repulsiveness of a slain lamb by the example of God told him by his father. But apparently Cain never got his head around the whole topic of blood sacrifice. Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Cain never got it. So, again, let's get our scorecard out. What about devotion, preacher? Check, check. Both of them get it. Determination, I think we get two check marks again. Two check marks. Matter of fact, in the first one, Cain may have pulled ahead a little bit. And the second one, more excellent, looks like that Abel caught him. But we're neck and neck tied. When we come to deliberation, we'll stop. You see, this is where the battle was fought and lost. When he had to reason it out, when he had to think it out, when he put all of the facts together, he said, nope, not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. You know, in effect, what he was saying? I'm going to start my own religion. I'm going to start the religion of works. And you know whatever religion in the world has in common? They are religions of works. You know the one thing that Christianity sets Christianity out head and shoulders above every other religion on earth? You know what the difference is? Our work's already been done, but we didn't do it. It was done by Christ Jesus. He did the work. We're just his workmanship. He did the work. All the rest of the religions on planet Earth spell it, salvation, they spell it D-O, do. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other. And somebody said, oh, no, they're different. No, you listen to me. The list of things is different. But I don't care if it's a Muslim bumping his head on the concrete on a prayer rug in Mecca, or whether it's a Roman Catholic praying to Mary over here in the cathedral. I don't care if it's a Buddhist chanting something, doesn't matter. It's all about doing something. Or whether it's a Russellite knocking on your door, inviting you to the kingdom hall. It's all about doing, doing, doing. You see, all religions have one thing in common. You got to do something. It's just the list is different. It's Christianity that separates, completely separate, because we don't spell ours D-O. Ours is spelled D-O-N-E. Ours is done. Yes, something had to be done, but we didn't have to do it. Christ did it. He fulfilled the law. He died in our stead. He rose again the third day. Hallelujah. It's done. But apparently Cain could never get his mind around that. And so we get not a check mark, but an X mark when it comes to deliberation. Nope. He missed it. Cain did. But when it comes to Abel, he got it right. He gets a check mark. So now what? Well, there is that one more thing. The scripture says, with all thy strength. At this point, it really doesn't matter. You see, when it's not a race to see who gets a higher score, if you don't check all the boxes, you lose. You understand? If you don't check all the boxes, you didn't love the Lord thy God, did you? There were four tenets: heart, soul, mind, strength. And if you don't do that, it's the first commandment. If you don't do that, you did. So if you miss one of those, we missed it. So I'm going to make a hole in this balloon, but I'm just going to make a hole here in the bottom. I'll try that. Take a pen and just put it here in the bottom. Boom! Bible says if you broke the law, you're guilty of the whole law. What's the first tenet of the law? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. The first tenet of the law. What do? We pop the law. We're guilty of the whole of it because we couldn't even get the first one right. And so it is with Cain. But let's look at this last one, with all thy strength. We've talked about a couple of things. I'm working on some B's. Help me with them later on. I've thought about belief. I've thought about that being your head. I've thought about that. But I thought about today, your strength. You ever heard anybody say, put your back in it? You ever heard anybody say that? What does that mean? Put your back in it. Means give it all you got, right? For a man, his back is that's his strength, right? Put your back in it. You're chopping wood, put your back in it, son. Don't just drop it like that. Put your back in it, son. Hit it hard. Put your back in it. If you're rowing a boat, put your back in it. You want to get your back in it. That's where your strength's at. With all the faculties of the body. The Bible says, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. The Bible says this, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. A tiller of the ground. Can I tell you, when it comes to strength, tilling the ground's hard. I'm telling you the truth. Saturday, I was just plowing up a little old place. I'd knocked the top off of it with a skid steer. And I just plowing up a little old place. And so I had the rototiller head on the weed eater. You talk about a torture instrument. Put a rototiller head on a weed eater. Somebody said, that's for your wife to get the weeds out of the flower bed. Honey, you better be married to a great big old stout wife, is all I can tell you. That rascal will beat you to death. Oh, mercy. Remember them old front-tine rototillers? Oh, they were mean. Remember them? And they were either dragging you down the road, or they're beating you to death. One of the two. I mean, it was just. Now they got the rear tines, and they got the powered tires, and the tines turn the opposite direction. So the tines turn one way, and the tires turn the other way, and it kind of goes on its own. Then you used to be like that meat eater. It pulls you with it. You got to constantly be pulling back on it. Boy, where are you out? I just plowed up a little old patch. Beat you to death. He didn't have a weed eater with a rototiller. He didn't have a front tine, rear tine. He had to bust them clods by himself, plowing new ground. Ain't nobody ever plowed it before. And so the Bible says he was a tiller of the ground. Calluses on his hands. Wrinkled on his brow. Sunshine. I mean, you could tell he's worked outside. He's worked hard for what he's got. No doubt that he worked hard. His back was in it, but his head wasn't. Does he get a check mark for all of his strength? Probably does. He probably does. Cain probably gets a check mark for all your strength. What about Abel? Abel, let me see your hands. Well, you ain't got calluses on your hands, boy. Look at your brother's hands. Well, they're calloused. Your hands ain't calloused. All you got's a place where the goat scraped you. You know, livestock. It's not quite as demanding as tilling the ground. He was a tender of the flock. The Bible says he was a keeper. Verse 2 of chapter 4. He was a keeper of the sheep. So I think that anybody here would agree that tending the flock probably wasn't as hard as tilling the ground. Until it come down to the sacrifice. And if you ask me, it probably took more strength to take that knife and cut that lamb's throat that you had hand raised than it did to cut that biggest watermelon vine. I'd say it took a whole lot more strength to cut that lamb's throat than it did pick that big pumpkin. Don't you guess? It was strength of a different nature. He had to take everything that was within him and muster everything he's in him to offer that lamb. With all thy strength, Cain, it's his back. With Abel, it's his heart. I mean, it's his... Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy dedication. But just one of those things was missing. Had the wrong belief system. Had the wrong deliberation. And he got it wrong. And it ended up leading to murder. And it ended up leading to a whole godless line of people on the face of the earth. To the point that God destroyed the earth by water to destroy the line of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites so influenced, the line of Cain, they so influenced the line of Abel. There was no line of Abel, the line of Seth. That only 8 souls were found righteous because of the line of Cain. Only 8 souls of the line of Seth were righteous, and God, I'm talking about over 1,500 years, and God destroyed everybody on earth but 8. And it all goes back to this passage right here. And what was wrong, preacher? It was a religion by works, man pulling himself up by his own bootstraps, or by grace. I can see Abel say, Lord, I don't understand this, but here goes. This is what Dad said you required in the garden. So, Lord, here it goes. And he cuts that lamb's throat. Lamb's plural throat. And the Bible says that God had respect. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, more excellent sacrifice. Back in Genesis chapter number 4, The Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And suddenly the devotion went out the window. Suddenly the dedication went out the window. Suddenly, all that went out the window because of the deliberation was misplaced. God help us. God help us tonight to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. This is the first commandment.